Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you, Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic. Right now, of course, it is the 9 o'clock hour. We have embarked on hour number two, and that means it's time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It's the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, and unless you live under a rock, you no doubt have probably heard about this story. Dateline, Sydney, Australia. This past Thursday, John Daly smashed a spectator's camera into a tree while shooting a 6-over par round of 78 in the first round of the Australian Open. He missed the cut for a third straight week down under. After he pushed the tee shot wide on the ninth hole, Daly walked into a clump of trees where spectator Brad Clegg tried to take a picture at close range. Daly snatched his camera and smashed it against the nearest tree. Daly said, quote, "I was looking to take a drop, and the camera was 6 inches away from my face. I was at 10 over par. If I was 10 under, I probably would have felt the same way." So he was talking about the fact that he was not playing a good round of golf, and people saying that, well, that's the reason you smashed the camera. Daly saying, "I would have done it no matter what, even if I was 10 under." He said, quote, "My eyes are still burning from the flash of the camera," end quote. Holy exaggeration, Batman. Pat, your thoughts on Long John Daly?
Where do you want to go with this? This is really becoming, it's like Daly's last stand, you know, comic tour. He's going to get kicked off the Australian tour. You know, he's trying to make a comeback on this because he's essentially been kicked out of the U.S. PGA tour. And I don't know what his status is on the European tour. But he hasn't been back here for like 6 years. And don't forget, he left that time, you know, under bad circumstances, throwing clubs and getting fined and things like that. So he's making a comeback. But can you imagine him walking into this clump of trees? He's already got a head of steam. For whatever reason, this guy is back there with a camera, takes a picture. Daly smashes it, basically tells him, "If you want it back, I'll buy you a new one." You know, typical John, I'll just buy you a new one. Forget, you know, the fact that I'm out of control. Seriously, Russ, what do you do with this guy at this point? I mean, he had an out-of-body experience, 62 in Hong Kong or something, and that's been his only flash of brilliance on this whole thing. Otherwise, he's just missed cuts left and right. And leaving damage in his wake, as evidence here. I don't know. I just can't believe people tournament organizers still give him exemptions into their tournaments. It's really like, you know, getting into a wrestling event or getting into like the Smash Up Derby or something. You're literally going to see not John play now, but you're going to see how he's going to explode or what he's going to do.
It's a train wreck.
It is not.
And people watch
golf
for the wreck. They don't watch for the train to roll, you know, consistently. They watch for the train to come off the tracks.
And that's what's happening now. That's what this is. And it is. As Stuart Appleby said, it's like goofy golf. It's, you're coming to see John like do something not really golf related. You're coming to see how he is going to explode, not if, because he will. He will do something goofy in the course of a round. And what's happening is, because John's an alcoholic, and I don't think he wants to take complete control of that, he's starting to sound, and I'm familiar with alcoholics. I've got, you know, plenty of friends and family members that have dealt with this disease, and he has the same excuses they do. He has the same thought process, like, it's really not that bad. I don't know why everybody's making a big deal about this. My life's fine. You know, what I'm doing is okay.
That is exactly
what a lot of alcoholics say about stuff. As they're going to jail.
Right, and Pat, not only that, blaming other people as well. It's always somebody else's fault besides his own. Everything that goes wrong in his life, it's the fault of something or someone else, never looking at himself. The most troubling part of this story for me is this line right here. Australian Open Tournament Director Trevor Hurden told reporters the episode was unfortunate. However, Daly would not face sanctions.
Why? Again,
at some point you've got to slap him on the wrist. At some point you've got to, you know, throw him in jail like the guys in North Carolina did. I know we're out of time, but I just want to quickly reference Tim Rosefort's article. Great job by Tim Rosefort in Golf Digest this week. He said, quote, "John Daly's stock, while seemingly worthless in the United States, still has some value in the global marketplace. John Daly's out of mulligans in the U.S., where he hasn't had a tour card since 2006. So now he's gone overseas, where he seems to still get tournament exemptions. Stuart Appleby's take on Daly is similar to what several players are thinking. Sponsors and tournament organizers aren't doing the game a service by granting Daly exemptions, yet they keep doing it." Amen.
I completely agree. That is a great article by Tim. And This is going to end badly, folks. It is going to end badly for John. He's going to kill himself either through overindulgence or in a car wreck or something. And it's just a shame people aren't enabling him at this point when what they should be doing is focusing him on getting himself some real help. All right, number two goes to you, Russ, in a much, much lighter note in a way. Player of the Year comes up, I think, this week. And from what I understand, it's a very close vote, as it should be. Potty or Tiger, who you got in this?
Well, yeah, it's coming up. PGA Tour Player of the Year, we'll find out next week. We've already known for about a month now that the PGA of America Player of the Year went to Padraig Harrington. Now, that's a more specific process. That's a points-based system. You know, you get certain points for wins, you get certain points for second and third. So the PGA of America Player of the Year award is based on a hard and fast point system, whereas PGA Tour Player of the Year is a vote amongst the tour players, and it's very close. First of all, let me set it up. Let me give some pros for each guy. If you're pro Padraig Harrington, here's the reason. Harrington won more majors than Tiger. If you're going to go with Padraig Harrington, because Harrington had two majors, Tiger only had one. And there's a precedent for Harrington winning over Tiger if it happens this year. It was 1998. David Duval had four PGA Tour wins that year, and he also topped the money list. However, Player of the Year award went to Mark O'Meara, who had won two majors that year. Now, if you're pro Tiger Woods, this is the reason you're pro Tiger Woods. Tiger had more total wins, 4-2. I mean, Tiger had four wins this year. Potty only had two. Obviously, Potty's two wins were both majors, but Tiger had a major and three other wins. Tiger's season was also more efficient. He had four wins and just six starts, and most of it was on an injured knee, which makes it even that more spectacular. But, Pat, for me, this is really where it crystallizes it for me, and this is where I think, this is why I think Tiger Woods should be the Player of the Year. It's kind of the romantic, emotional card. 20 years from now, when people look back on this 2008 PGA Tour season, what will be most remembered about it? It probably won't be that was the year that Padraig Harrington won two majors. Instead, most people will likely remember the 2008 PGA Tour season as the year that Tiger Woods limped and grimaced his way to a victory at the U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. And for me, that is the reason Tiger should be Player of the Year.
I just think, Russ, and I'm not disagreeing with that, I think that is the seminal moment of the 2008 season by far. I don't think there's anything close. Here's my point, and I've said this before. If Trevor Immelman, I actually said his name right, would have won one of the other two, the British or the PGA, I have no problem with him winning it. Because, you know, these majors trump everything else. If you win two majors and nobody else does, 99% of the time you're going to be the PGA Player of the Year. Here's the problem. Tiger Woods transcends that normal thinking. Because he was not eligible to play in the British or the PGA, you have to factor that in. Now, in most players, again, 99 players, that wouldn't factor in with me. You can't say, oh, well, even if he would have played, you can't tell how he would have done. Tiger has a record of showing that he's in contention in those events. He would have been in contention in the British and the PGA. So we don't know how Potty would have played against him if Tiger was in those events. And that's too big of a factor for me. Tiger's shown this year, winning four out of six, like I think you said, and coming in second and fifth in the other two.
Right.
That tells me that Tiger, with a broken leg, was on the top of his game. And this season might have rivaled 2000. For that reason alone, even though he played a half a year, just like Tim Tebow got jobbed in this Heisman vote, Tiger shouldn't get jobbed in this. He's the best player, even though he only played half the year. It's still, in my opinion, because Patty did not play against him in those majors. Right. That's enough of a factor.
Well, interestingly enough, we agree.